This week, 36 firefighters and policemen ran from Indiana to New York, 757 miles. Actually, they divided into three teams and took turns. One team would run for 6 hours, with the others riding ahead. This morning, after running across the Brooklyn Bridge, they arrived at a Manhattan fire station with $170,000, money they raised for the relief effort. Support for recovery workers has come in other unusual ways. Ever since September 11th, groups of ardent citizens have carved out a little space on the median strip of the West Side Highway in Manhattan. They gather at the intersection of Christopher Street and West Street and hold signs that read, "Thank you, you're our heroes." They wave American flags, blow whistles, and cheer on the workers going to and from Ground Zero. NPR's Margot Adler has more.
Christopher Street in Greenwich Village is usually thought of as the heart of New York's gay district. So perhaps it wasn't surprising that my tour guide this night was Barry McQuaid, a gay man who makes his living as a hairdresser. But McQuaid is carrying a huge frayed American flag on a makeshift pole. He pulls up the sleeve of his jacket to reveal a large tattoo, the red AIDS ribbon, and the letters POS for positive, HIV positive. We first meet at a Chelsea neighborhood fire station. Like so many firehouses in New York City, it now looks like a Tibetan shrine. There are candles and flowers and carved poems in stone. Children's art from neighborhood schools can be found on every wall of the fire station. And there are pictures of the five firefighters at the station who died on September 11th. McQuaid points them out.
So these are the guys that are missing. It's Steve Belson and Oriel Palmer, Angel Juarez.
This is McQuaid's neighborhood, his hood, as he calls it. On September 11th, not knowing what to do or how to help, he came to the firehouse, and for 2.5 weeks he did everything he could, getting meals cooked, answering phones. Today he's wearing a firefighter's hat with the company's insignia.
I've lived through decades of AIDS. I've been positive myself for 20 years. I've held the hands of my brother while he died and other friends. We knew they were going to die. There was nothing you could do. So the best thing you could do is take care of them and make them laugh and do whatever it is you could do at that moment. When this happened, I looked at this and I said, you know, I thought living with AIDS was horrible enough, and now we have this.
A firefighter walks out of a fire station just as a truck is about to leave.
Tell me about this guy.
Great, he helps us out, cooks, cleans, takes care of us. Good man.
Keep his company.
Stay safe.
It's on to Christopher and West Streets. Barry joins a dozen supporters who've come to cheer the rescue workers on. On the median strip is a huge sign he's designed, Hero Highway. Facing the other way is another sign that says, "Point, thank you." There's a bag filled with posters so anyone who comes can hold one. There's even a cooler with drinks and snacks and instructions for newcomers, which Barry reads aloud.
This is support for human beings who are working on the WTC site. These individuals deserve thanks and honor, and they are indeed heroes in every sense, and they are upholding the civilized world. And we're just here to cheer.
He introduces me to Bridget Cagney, a 64-year-old woman from Queens, who comes every evening with her 67-year-old husband, James. Next to her stands a young man named Eric Applegate.
If they're passing at 2 in the morning, or 3 in the morning, or even at midnight, a smile and a flag waving. One policeman, a firefighter and a policeman, said that they were working for 11 days without a break. And when they were passing by at 3 in the morning or midnight or whenever, or 10 p.m., our smiling faces and that wave was the only contact that they really had other than Ground Zero, and it made them feel so good.
These guys are going down there every day, and I think it bolsters people's faith in humanity and to keep spirits uplifted after such a horrible thing happening, you know?
They're the people who recognize us.
That's what we're here for.
They'll flash their lights, they'll make their little, do the little siren sounds for us, they'll wave, they'll stop.
We go home with tears in our heads and flashing lights and sirens going.
There's Claire Makuta, who's wearing a New York Yankee hat, a firefighter's jacket, and has pins in her hat given to her from police departments and firefighting units from around the country. And there's Diane, who jumps up and down with red, white, and blue pom-poms. And there's the guy with the whistle and two homeless black teens who protect the signs and the cooler when no one else is around. And there's Conchata Kirshner, who says that at the beginning she wasn't sure what she was doing.
I know. When I first started coming, I felt really ridiculous. I did. I felt like a crazy person.
But like after countless encounters with people who said that you don't know what this means to us, then, you know, it just makes sense.
Meanwhile, Barry McQuaid twirls his huge worn American flag, a twirling skill he learned in the gay pride parade. Most of the time, everyone laughs and shouts and jumps up and down. Yet they say when they learn that a body has been found, they stand solemnly, their hand over their heart, as the convoy passes. McQuaid says he has 100 stories. He tells of one woman that stopped her car to talk.
She says, you know, you saved my husband's life. She's crying and she says, the first 30, 40 hours, my husband was down there from day one and was devastated, didn't sleep, was exhausted and couldn't keep his eyes open for the road. And he saw you people out there on the highway and gave him the spirit to drive home to her safe and sound.
The first person who stops this night is police officer Anthony Romano.
I know I drive by here and thank yous all. I might not stop every time, but I do thank yous because it makes my job a little bit easier knowing that it's not us in it alone as a police department. It's, you know, the whole community.
Steve Gabriel is a neuroscientist who has come down occasionally. He remembers buying packs of cigarettes for the relief workers, even though he not only doesn't smoke, he doesn't think it's a good idea.
A lot of things I've done in the last month that I've never done before, like cheering policemen, wearing a flag, and really, you know, challenging a lot of my basic beliefs that I've held on my life.
In the past, many New Yorkers might have told you they were almost outsiders in this country. The city wasn't really part of America, and much of America might have agreed. But in the post-September 11th world, at this crossroads of Christopher and West Streets, where a gay man with HIV can work with firefighters and black teens can cheer police and wave American flags, it's a different landscape. And some New Yorkers are feeling their American citizenship in a very new way. Margot Adler, NPR News, New York.
And for this evening, that's All Things Considered. Kitty Isley edits, Devar Ardalan directs, and Alice Winkler produces with John Buckley, Tracy Wall, Annie Wu, Steve Lichtai, Molly Peterson, and Catherine Maddox. Our senior producer is Walter Ray Watson. The technical director is Jerry Tennant. Audio engineers include Kurt Turner, Greg Gavin, Neil Ellis, Joe Woods, and Stuart Grace. Special thanks tonight to editors Sue Goodwin, Ann Gudenkoff, and Margaret West. Kim Oleski is our reference librarian. Sally Robertson is in the program library. The newscast producer is Quinn O'Toole. The executive producer for Weekend News is Paul Brown. And I'm Lisa Simeone. Good evening for Weekend All Things Considered and NPR News.